Well, some tremendous music today. Thank you so much for that, in leading us and focusing us on Christ in such a great way. As we look at Mary today, and I think as far as in all of the scriptures go, we all know who Mary is. That is the mother of our Lord Jesus. I would say next to Jesus himself and maybe Paul, St. Paul, we know who Mary is. Now, when I say that, throughout the centuries, of course, there's been all sorts of images and artwork and things like that around the world that's tried to capture Mary. The Annunciation is what we look at today when the angel comes to her. And when I say that also, I'm not sure what image comes to your mind, what you might see above Mary and what she would look like. What was her hair color? How long was it? Probably pretty long from that time. What did she dress like? And, you know, was she rich? Was she poor? What was the status in life and her family? Skin tone. What was she, you know, was it olive colored, that Mediterranean, or what did she look like? And on, we ask those kinds of questions. At least it goes through my mind. It doesn't help very much because we're not told. We're not told at all what she looked like. Instead, what the scripture does is it takes us and focuses us on the story. And that's where God wants our attention. The story of Jesus Christ, his life, his birth, and that she's a part of that. That's what's important here. With that in mind, let's take a look at this video and see the story now maybe through a more contemporary eyes and what Mary went through.
As long as I can remember, we'd been waiting for the Messiah to come for us. My family, our tribe, our whole nation. I always knew that he'd come. But, well, let's be honest, it's not like I'm from Jerusalem or someplace special. I'm just a girl from Nazareth. And everybody knows that not much good comes from Nazareth, never has. I thought for sure that angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if that's what God wanted, well, who was I to tell him he was wrong? And Joseph, well, God bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everybody else. He could have had me sent away. He could have even had me killed. But he just never broke the promise to marry me. And so when he had to go to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to ride by his side, even with heartburn and bloated cankles and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those women who try different things to induce labor, like going on frequent walks or eating spicy foods? What they should do is go on a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem, because not long after I got there, and I'd never done this myself, but even I knew it was time. And with every wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that my family wouldn't be there to help me, and that I'd be bringing this baby into the world without the familiarity of home. But when Jesus finally came, I forgot all of that, though. I just wrapped him in cloths and tried to make the most comfortable bed I could for him with the only thing I had, which was an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping then, but I couldn't stop staring at him. There he was. The one the angel had told me about. My heart was so full, I couldn't even find words big enough to express it. I'm not the first young mother to bring a child into this world. It's always been that way. But as I look down at my son, my Redeemer, I knew that he would change everything because he'd already changed me.
I get it, the piecing together the information that we have and putting some of those scriptures together. I think Mary probably had some of these thoughts. It was something along those lines. But I do have to say, for me, this version of Mary isn't very, I don't know, I'm not sure I like it because she looks far too much like my sister. In this thing, yes, you know who got the looks in the family, and it wasn't me. But it's still kind of nice to look at and wonder. And I like the idea, or the truth, actually, that Jesus would change everything because he already changed her. He already changed me. And that's how he works, isn't it? That one life, one heart at a time. With that in mind, let's go back now to the scripture narrative about Mary and read through that. It starts in the sixth month, of course, the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist. And the angel Gabriel, the sword bearer of God, as it were, the one from the book of Daniel, the archangel Gabriel, was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, for those among us that came from Catholic backgrounds, the word greetings here in the Latin is Ave, of course, where the Ave Maria comes from. And so that's the greeting of the angel. But Mary, she was greatly troubled then at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Angels are always saying that. I'm not sure, but they always have to kind of warn you about it, like that's going to help anything at that time. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Yahweh saves. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "Well, how will this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of our God. This is one of the from Albrecht Dürer and his work, the wood cutting. The angel pointing at Mary in the Annunciation, and she, if you look that up, she has that kind of look on her face. What exactly do you want from me? This great and classic artwork. But that being said, I also want to before I go into anything else, tell you that there's one great big lesson here that we don't want to miss. And this is that lesson. Do not ever underestimate what God can do through teenagers. Don't. 13 to 16 years old, somewhere in there, probably 15. We don't know exactly, but she was young. She was young. And look at the depth of Mary's spiritual life. Look at how she's living this life out. It goes way beyond where most of us will ever be. Way beyond. And just a glimpse of her spiritual maturity. You go on from this passage and you hit the Magnificat. You know, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he who is mighty has done great things, raising up the lowly. That verse of humility and great spiritual writing. That was Mary. That's a teenager. Now, you're thinking, oh, yeah, well, of course. I mean, you know, it's Mary. Of course she's going to be spiritual and everything else. That doesn't cut it. Still a human being. What it really tells us about her parents and about her family, about her faith community that invested in this young life. That's what it tells us about. It matured her and strengthened her in her faith. And I say that because really this is one of the things we seriously strive to do here. It's so important. So you could see what our teens are capable of. That's why we invest under the leadership of Brent Howard with Katie and Corey. What they do week in and week out here at Christ Lutheran. It's so important. They're capable of so much. It's important as a faith family that we continue to invest in these lives, in leading these families, strengthening their spiritual life. This is what can happen. Things like the Magnificat. Amazing. What simple faith can do. There. Now, I want to go on and talk about Saint Bernard. Not the dog. Not the dog. Of course, the dog was named after the breed, Saint Bernard. In saying that, I don't know which Saint Bernard I'm referring to. There were seven Saint Bernards, seven of them. So I'm not quite sure which one is the most famous of all of them. But this Saint Bernard, one of them said this, that there are three clear miracles here in this story. Three clear miracles. God and man joined in Jesus Christ, that's one. Two, that Mary remained a virgin from conception to the birth of Jesus. And then three, that Mary should have such faith as to believe that this mystery would be accomplished in her. Faith is always a miracle, not just with Mary, but inside of you as well. Make no mistake about it. It's not something you can conjure up. It's something that God has to give you, and that's a miracle. It's a miracle where God attaches himself to you. So what does that gift of faith look like in someone like Mary? And how does she live that out? How does she act upon it? And what does that mean for us? Well, in her response, she says, I am the servant of the Lord. A great response. She calls herself a servant, or in the Greek, a doule, or if in a masculine form, it's a doulos. In the Old Testament, it comes to us in the Hebrew as an Eved Yahweh, and that's a great, a big messianic title that follows throughout Scripture and into Jesus, a servant of God. And she picks that up here in her life. I am a servant, a doule of the Lord. And this is the one then, the servant, and that servant's just too soft of a word. We don't like the real hardcore scripture translation. What she's really saying is she's a slave of the Lord. The one who worships and submits to God. As a slave of God, she gives self up completely and wholly. Giving herself to another's will as she gives herself completely to God. in these simple words. That's what she does. Here's the truth of it. She grabs the truth of it. She's just being honest with the way life truly is. She's being honest about accepting God's plan and not her own. She's being honest and understanding that she's just an actor in this grand life that she's living. God is the director. That's how this works. That's why she submits. Don't kid yourself then. Thinking somehow you are in charge of your life. That you are the director, the grand planner of all things for yourself. That Jeff's somehow in charge. Well, I don't know about you, but when Jeff's in charge, I tell you what, that's called a train wreck. My best ideas get me in a lot of trouble. And I want to learn this lesson from Mary to understand who's in charge of life, that I'm going to serve somebody. I'm going to either serve God, I'm going to serve myself, I'm going to serve Satan. Self and Satan are about the same. But somebody, we're going to serve. You are under somebody's lordship in life. Don't think and mess with that illusion. It's true. You're serving. And Mary simply recognizes God in her service here. She sees and submits as a sheep to the shepherd, the great shepherd. That's what she sees herself as, in and under his plan and God's will. And that does raise an important question for you. Have you come to grips with who and what you serve? Have you dealt with the idols in your life? In your times of confession, have you been honest with that? Have you? Who's on the throne? Who's on the throne? Mary knows. And Mary also knows the secret then, with that confession, the secret to contentment and joy in life. She's with Paul on this in Philippians 4. That in all things, I'm content in all things, he says. Whether in need or in plenty, it doesn't matter. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what Mary is saying here as well. She demonstrates the humble power of acceptance. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word, God. You know, the way these words roll out of Mary's mouth through her lips, it tells me something. It tells me that she ended her prayers every day with these words. See, I say that because if an angel showed up to me like that, he would have to do a lot more than say, "Don't be afraid." There'd be a lot more work than that to do. And if I had to speak or say anything, I'm not going to just come out with these great passages and words, like some grand theological thing. I'm going to say something that I say every day, something that is simple and in my routine. I'm going to say something that I practice and is just second nature to me. That's what I'm going to do in the middle of great fear and in front of a divine angel like that. And that's what Mary does. This was a daily prayer for her. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. She either began or ended her prayers with that. She either began or ended every day with that prayer. She acknowledged God's goodwill in her life and sought it. She exhibits a daily surrender and seeking. Think about what she was agreeing to in this whole story even, in this acceptance. Think about it. Now, she had no idea where this would lead to. She had no idea of the pain and the suffering that was ahead of her. She had no idea that she would have to watch her son be tortured and killed in front of her eyes. She had no idea. She had no idea that this was a promise for eternal life, and this is how God would accomplish it. Oh, a vague idea, but not complete. Not any more than a lot of the people around her. And yet, she trusted, and she accepted without knowing anything else except that God willed it. She knew God was with her, and that his will was the most important thing for her in life. And she submitted. She submitted to and accepted God's will before it even unfolded in her, before she even knew the cost. You know, when I look at that and I see that story, and I hope you're similar with me on this, I want to be humble like that. Not humble in the open with the people around me, and I want to be humble before my God like that. Not where people see me, but in that private submission, in that simple acceptance that he's in charge of this life. Open and trusting God just like that. It really comes down to this. God's will always leads to the good life. God's will always leads to joy. God's will always leads to freedom. And God's will always leads to fulfillment. Always. Even when that will lead you through great suffering. Even when it leads us to the dark valley of the shadow of death. There's good. There's joy, there's freedom, there's fulfillment. The world doesn't see it, but faith does. But faith does. And all these things, he brings healing in the healing light of the gospel. You see, this is the way it works. You know that out there in the world, things are always messy out there. There's always ups and downs out there. That's life. There's going to be times, the days that are good and grand. There are going to be times that you are sick. There's going to be times that you're going to deal with death. There's going to be times when you're depressed. There's going to be times when you're happy. There's going to be those things happening out there. But it's a broken world and it's a messy world. And if you live your life connected to that world, it's worse than a roller coaster. Your feelings, your thoughts, everything will ride that coaster up and down and all around. It'll take you into bad places. But Christ works in here first. And just like Mary said, Jesus changes everything. He changes everything. And in here, in this life, because of Christ, because of faith, because of what he's done for me, it doesn't matter what happens out there. I could still have joy. I'm still fulfilled. I'm still living the good life. Because Christ is in here, and he changes the way I see everything. Because I know the one that is in charge. And that nothing is out of his control. And that I sit in the palm of his hand. I think that's what Mary does. Now, I also think that most of us at this time of year, we have movies that we like to watch over and over again. My heart goes out to parents of young children right now, because there are probably movies, shows, TV things that you've seen, 60 or 70 times already this season. And then there's those that we like to watch, right? I like Christmas Story. Me and Ralphie, we're together. I'm a dead ringer for Jeff, that's for sure, even up to the BB gun, but I never shot my eye out. Elf, other shows and things like that. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. But here, you know each and every line, and you know what's coming next in these stories. You've watched them so often. And the anxiety and the tension of these stories is gone, long gone. And I think we do this with Mary as well. I really do. We know the whole story. We know how it goes. We know each twist and turn, the life of Christ. But she didn't know it. She didn't. She had no idea. Yet she believed. Yet she trusted. She stood on the gift of faith that had grown mighty inside of her day after day, according to his word. We will hear her words again one day, actually, when you think about it. Think of this. You're going to hear these words echoed down the road. For us, it'll come again in Lent. It'll come again for her one day in the Garden of Gethsemane by her own son, by Jesus. And he's going to say the same thing. Father, not my will, but your will be done. How important are those words in your life? Think about that. Jesus willingly laying down his life for you, submitting himself to the Father, humbling himself to the point of death, even death on the cross, and that he would come now for you, with his love. That in that moment, in that stall, in the midst of that hay, he saw the cross, and he came for you to take all of your brokenness, all of your sin, all of this messy world, and nail it there so that you could live, so that you could be changed from the inside out, cleansing, changing. And he started with Mary. With Mary. That's a gift. That's a gift from God through Mary to you. Day after day, I challenge you, pray that simple prayer. Make it part of your spiritual life. I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me, God, according to your word, not my own. These are the words of one redeemed by Christ, the crucified one. The words of one who recognizes God doing for us in Jesus Christ, day after day, moment after moment, what we cannot possibly do for ourselves. This is the path to God's power. It may not lead where you like it to, but it will lead where he goes. This is the path to transformation and renewal, day after day. And so, we end with one more miracle that St. Bernard did not mention, but I'm sure he thought it. The miracle for you and for me is more than Jesus born of a virgin, of her faith. But the miracle for you and me is that God is now born inside of you and me. Amen.